This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, continuing in Psalm 105 and then Psalm 106. He remembered his holy promise. Both we and our fathers have sinned. They put God to the test. Moses stood in the breach and a snare to them. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
but thine is the kingdom,
reading from John, chapter 5. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself bore witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whenever we come to a text like today, we pastors, we who are studying to be pastors should listen quite closely. We have been blessed in ways that we too often forget. We have been given the time, the resources, to step away from the cares of this world, or at least many of the cares of this world that the people in our congregations must face daily. We've been given the opportunity to focus on God's holy word. Yes, we still live in the world, but we are blessed to spend so much time studying theology and the things of God. And what a blessing this is to all of us. It does have some drawbacks. Not that studying the Word of God has drawbacks at all, but we are sinners, even as we come to the text. And we struggle with pride and many other sins. We too often condemn Christians because of their lack of study or their Christian diligence, forgetting that we have been gifted. We've been gifted with time and resources to put all of our focus, or at least most of our focus, on the things of God rather than the things of the world. We are truly blessed to have the vocation to which we have been called. And yet at the same time, we must remember that Jesus always spoke quite harshly to the clergy of his time. If you're not studying for the office of the holy ministry, don't worry, there's lots here for you as well. In our text today, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of his day, people who knew of Moses, people who searched the scriptures, people who could quote most of it by memory. And yet Jesus says something frightening to their religious ears, and they don't like it. They don't like it at all. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. And yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Here is a great tragedy, to be sure. They have the written word in scripture, but they reject the word made flesh, Christ himself. Jesus does not rebuke them for reading scripture. He rebukes them because they read in a sense of a way of control more than seeking God. No, not me, you may say. But our sin is always seeking to control others, and even to control God. Sin always wants to satisfy itself. They search the scriptures as if they were a system to master, a possession to boast of. But Jesus says, it is they that bear witness to me. The scriptures do not allow you to build a case for yourself. The scriptures are given so that we may know Jesus. But their father, the devil, had plugged their ears and closed their eyes to the truth. Indeed, many even today can handle the Bible faithfully on the outside, but still refuse Jesus on the inside. You can know the facts and still miss the life. Jesus continues, I do not receive glory from people. In other words, he's not seeking anyone's approval. He's definitely not performing for an audience. He doesn't come to strengthen your egos and your pride. He says, I know that you do not have the love of God within you. Think about that for a moment. It's a pretty terrifying sentence, to be sure. It means that you can have religion and still lack Jesus. You can have the scriptures on your lips and yet keep God far from your hearts. Once again, a good warning to all of us who have such a vocation and who will soon, by God's grace, also have that vocation. Jesus is very direct with these religious leaders. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me, he says. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. The fallen heart, it prefers a Messiah who flatters it. The world gladly receives a teacher who comes in his own name, selling self-improvement, selling self-expression, self-glory. There's really no end to the desires of the self. But Jesus comes in the name of the Father to give you what you cannot earn or receive on your own. Forgiveness, righteousness, eternal life. And so Jesus asked, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes only from God? This exposes a deep idol within all of us sinners, the craving to be praised, the craving to be seen, to be right, to be admired. Faith in the old Adam within us always find conflict. because faith means receiving empty-handed. Faith means letting Christ have all of the glory, not just part of it, but all of it. Yet be careful, because this is not only a problem found in unbelievers. We are tempted to measure ourselves by what others think of us. We are tempted to fear looking foolish more than we fear sin itself. We are tempted to love being right more than to love being forgiven. We are tempted to seek glory that comes from people rather than the glory that comes from God alone. And when that idol rules within us, Jesus, the true Jesus, he will always be inconvenient. And yet Jesus does not come to show your greatness. He comes to rescue you from deadness. And Jesus says something shocking. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. They thought Moses was their defense. They treated the law like a badge of honor that they kept. They set their sights on a false Moses, that is, on their own record, their own worth, their own righteousness. But when Moses is used in such a way, Moses becomes a prosecutor. The law is holy and good, but it's never a ladder to heaven. It was given to reveal sin, to stop every mouth, to crush boasting, to drive sinners to Jesus. Moses says, "You shall have no other gods." And we do. "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart." We don't. "You should love your neighbor as yourselves." And we fail. So if you come to God carrying Moses as your merit, Moses will accuse you. If you come to God trusting in something that you do, Moses will say, "That's not enough." But Jesus doesn't stop there. "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Yes, Moses accuses with the law, and Moses also preaches Christ. Moses wrote of the seed who would crush the serpent. Moses wrote of the Passover lamb whose blood sets us free from death and shields us. Moses wrote of the sacrifices that proclaim substitution, the innocent for the guilty. Moses wrote of the bronze serpent who lifted up the dying that they might live. Moses wrote of the prophet to come, to whom the people must listen. Moses wrote about Jesus. So if you claim Moses and reject Jesus, you've never really believed Moses at all. Jesus ends with this warning. "But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" If you read the Bible in a way that avoids Jesus, you will never have eternal life. The scriptures are meant to bring Jesus to you, as are the sacraments. So where is eternal life? Where can the truth be found? It is only found in Jesus. Life is not your mastery of the text. Life is not the glory that you will receive from others, because you will. People will be thankful for what you speak, how you act. And it is indeed a detriment to us many times. Life is not your ability to appear strong, wise, or even correct. Life is in Jesus. To come to Jesus is not to climb to heaven, it's to stop justifying yourself and receive freely what he gives. So we come as sinners, confessing. And what do we find when we come? Not a Jesus hungry for our praise, not a Jesus impressed by our record, not a Jesus who needs our glory. We find a Jesus who came in his Father's name to do what we cannot do. He fulfills Moses. He bears the acquisition of the law. He carries our sins to a cross. He rises from the dead as the Lord of life itself. And apart from Jesus, the law is too harsh for us to bear. It accuses us, along with our conscience, which accuses us, and the devil, who is our greatest accuser. But Jesus does not come as another accuser. He comes as a Savior. And Jesus does not only say, "Come to me," he comes to you. He comes, of course, through the preaching of that word, that holy and wonderful word that has been given to us to speak. He comes through that absolution and says, "I forgive you your sins." He comes through holy baptism, where his name is placed upon your forehead and upon your hearts to mark you as those redeemed in Christ. Of course, he comes in his Holy Supper, in his body and blood, for the forgiveness of your sins. And this is how Scripture gives life. They deliver Jesus to sinners, not as information only, but as a promise and a gift of mercy. And so repent of seeking glory from one another. Repent of treating God's word as a trophy, because while we won't admit it, we do it all the time. Repent from refusing the Son to whom the Scriptures bear witness, and then receive what Jesus gives, life. The eternal life that you receive when the water and the word are placed upon you in holy baptism. That eternal life given and shed for you in his body and blood under that bread and wine. Your forgiveness is in Jesus. Because of his forgiveness, you have already the abundant life of the resurrection. These are not mere words. They are God's unending promise to you, the baptized. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. My mouth is filled with your praise. Every day I will bless you. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He redeems your life from the pit. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Merciful and everlasting God, the Father, you did not spare your own Son, but delivered him up for us all, that he might bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in our Savior, that we may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, through your Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us into everlasting life.